Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Divide, American Injustice in the Age of the Wealth Gap by Matt Taibbi investigates how the U.S. justice system often operates as two separate worlds, one for the affluent and another for everyone else. Drawing on Taibbi's reporting background, the book surveys courtrooms, policing practices, regulatory agencies, and high-profile financial scandals to show how punishment and accountability can vary dramatically depending on status and resources. It connects everyday experiences like fines, probation fees, bail, and aggressive policing with the largely consequence-free landscape surrounding major corporate misconduct and financial fraud. Rather than treating inequality as only an economic story, Taibbi frames it as an institutional story about rules, enforcement, and political choices. The book's narrative approach uses case-based examples and broader analysis to highlight patterns that repeat across cities and states. The result is a sharp critique of how incentives, budgets, and discretionary power can tilt justice away from fairness and toward revenue collection and protection of powerful interests. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, two justice systems in one country. A central idea in the book is that American justice increasingly behaves like a split-level system. On one level, low-income defendants face a fast, punitive process shaped by overcharged public defense, pressure to plead, and an array of penalties that follow them for years. On the other level, wealthy individuals and large institutions can slow the system down, negotiate outcomes, and insulate decision-makers through legal firepower and political influence. Taibbi emphasizes how discretion is the key lever. Police decide whom to stop and search, prosecutors decide what to charge and what to offer, and judges decide bail, sentencing, and probation conditions. When resources differ, discretion tends to amplify inequality instead of correcting it. The book also stresses that unequal treatment is not only about headline trials. It shows up in routine cases where small infractions create cascading consequences, while complex white-collar cases often end with settlements that avoid admissions and personal accountability. This topic establishes the book's overall frame. The wealth gap is mirrored by an enforcement gap, and that gap changes how citizens experience the state. Secondly, policing, misdemeanors, and the pipeline of debt. The book highlights how many jurisdictions rely on fines, fees, and minor charges in ways that function like a revenue system. For people living paycheck to paycheck, a ticket or misdemeanor can trigger bail costs, court fees, probation charges, mandatory programs, and missed work, each step adding financial strain and increasing the likelihood of further entanglement. Taibbi discusses how aggressive enforcement strategies can concentrate in poorer neighborhoods, producing constant contact with police for low-level conduct. This creates a pipeline in which inability to pay becomes interpreted as non-compliance, leading to warrants, jail time, or harsher supervision. The effect is not only punitive but also destabilizing. Families lose income, jobs are jeopardized, housing becomes harder to maintain, and credit and records suffer. Taibbi's broader point is that the system often treats poverty as a behavioral problem rather than a condition, converting economic vulnerability into legal vulnerability. In contrast to public rhetoric about safety and order, the incentives described here can prioritize volume, collections, and measurable outputs like arrests and citations. The topic underlines how everyday law enforcement practices can deepen inequality even without dramatic crimes or sensational cases. Thirdly, bail, plea bargains, and unequal leverage, Taibbi examines mechanisms that decide outcomes long before a trial ever occurs. Cash bail is presented as a major pressure point. A person with money can buy time, keep a job, and build a defense, while a person without money may sit in jail for a low-level charge, risking employment and family stability. That imbalance pushes many defendants toward plea bargains, even when evidence is weak or defenses exist, because the immediate cost of waiting is too high. The book connects this to overloaded courts, where speed is rewarded and negotiations become the default. Public defenders face heavy caseloads and limited investigative resources, while prosecutors often control charging decisions that set the bargaining range. Taibbi argues that the resulting system can be less about determining guilt and more about managing dockets and extracting compliance. The leverage differential mirrors economic status. Wealth buys patience, expertise, and alternatives. Poverty compresses choices. This topic also points to a deeper civic issue. When large numbers of people experience justice as coercion and paperwork rather than deliberation and fairness, trust erodes and participation in democratic life weakens. Fourthly, white-collar crime and the culture of non-prosecution. In contrast to harsh treatment for minor offenses, the book scrutinizes how major financial wrongdoing frequently avoids criminal consequences. Taibbi focuses on the aftermath of the financial crisis era to show how complex fraud, reckless risk-taking, and deceptive practices can lead to enormous public harm without producing proportional accountability for executives. He describes a legal and regulatory environment where corporations can negotiate settlements, pay fines that resemble a cost of doing business, and continue operating largely unchanged. Our recurring theme is institutional reluctance. Agencies may fear losing high-profile cases, depend on industry expertise, or face political and budget constraints, all of which can encourage cautious enforcement. Meanwhile, corporate defendants can deploy extensive legal teams, lobbying, and public relations to shape outcomes. The book also addresses the symbolic message sent when elite misconduct is treated as a civil matter while street-level offenses are treated as moral failure. Tybee's critique is that such patterns create moral hazard and normalize predatory behavior because the worst-case scenario is often financial, not personal. This topic ties back to the wealth gap by arguing that unequal enforcement is not accidental. It is built into the way power interacts with law. Lastly, democracy, accountability, and paths to reform. The book does more than describe problems, it frames them as choices embedded in budgets, incentives, and political priorities. Tybee links the divide in justice to broader democratic accountability. When prosecutors are elected, police departments are insulated, and regulatory agencies rotate staff with industry, enforcement can reflect political convenience rather than equal standards. He also points to how metrics shape behavior. Arrest numbers, conviction rates, and fine collections are easy to count, while fairness, harm reduction, and community trust are harder to measure. The result is a system that can drift toward what is administratively efficient and financially useful. Reform, in this view, requires changing the incentive structure rather than relying only on individual goodwill. That can include reducing reliance on fees and bail, strengthening defense resources, revisiting prosecutorial discretion, and improving transparency around settlements and regulatory decisions. The Biante emphasis is that meaningful change must address both ends of the system at once. Reducing punitive pressure on the poor while increasing accountability for elite wrongdoing is necessary to restore legitimacy. This topic leaves readers with a framework for evaluating policy proposals. Ask who bears the cost, who gains leverage, and whether enforcement is consistent across class lines. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a clear, reported look at how inequality shows up in courts, policing, and corporate regulation. It is especially useful for students of criminal justice, public policy, economics, and journalism, as well as anyone who has wondered why minor infractions can derail a life while large-scale misconduct often ends in negotiated penalties. The benefit is practical as well as civic. By mapping the mechanisms that drive unequal outcomes, readers can better interpret headlines, evaluate reform proposals, and understand how everyday legal processes affect employment, housing, and family stability. It also encourages readers to think about accountability as a system design issue, not merely a matter of individual morality. Compared with similar books that focus only on poverty, incarceration, or Wall Street, Tybee's value is the way he connects street-level punishment with elite impunity under one coherent argument. That combined perspective helps explain why the wealth gap persists even when laws appear neutral on paper. The writing is accessible yet pointed, making it worth buying for readers who want both narrative momentum and a framework for understanding how power shapes justice. If you would like to support Matt Tybee, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.